This is the Bible, the living Word of God. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you today that we have already heard the voice of your Spirit. But Father, we thank you for the voice of the Spirit through your living Word that we're about to receive. Father, truly, we'll never be the same. We position ourselves today to hear your voice, to hear your heart as we search the living Word of God. And we thank you ahead of time, Father, for the abundant harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, the title is A New Beginning. I think we've already had one, but we're going to look at a new beginning today, seeing as how this is a new year, but it's a new decade. This year, I'll be entering my seventh decade. There's some in our church that have been eight decades, but that doesn't make me an old man. I plan on being around full circle. I was born in 1950, so I plan on making 2050. Make it a century. Why stop, you know? Unless it's God's plan, I'm going to see 2050. So anyways, each one of these years or decades, people tend to make decisions. They tend to make resolutions. And that's not really what this message is about, but it is in a way. I'm talking about not just a new beginning, a beginning, or a remodeling or a refreshing. I'm talking about beginning something. We began something today. We may not realize it, but we stepped over a line. So whenever you step over a line, you've begun something. But we're going to look at a beginning. To begin means that it has a definite place or time of origin or a starting place. It's something that did not exist before because you're beginning. The process was not in place yet. It didn't exist. It's a beginning. So a new beginning means to completely do away with the old and make a new one completely different, not related to the old one. To begin again or to renew means to restart, to revise, to revive the one already in place. To talk about a new beginning, we need to define what we're talking about. Am I beginning something totally different? That means the old don't exist anymore. It's been done away with. It's new. Or am I beginning again? Revising something, replacing something that I'm not replacing it, I'm remodeling it. When you get born again, you don't get remodeled. You get born again. The old things have passed away. Everyone at one time or another has come to the place where they say, I just wish I could start over. I wish I could begin again. Well, some things you can, some things you can't. Most of us, when we say that, I want a new life. I'm just going to leave this wife or this husband. I'm going to leave this job. I'm going to go to another state. I'm going to do something brand new I haven't done before. I want a new life. Sorry, you're not going to have a new life. The reason is, it's because you're there. The main ingredient in change is still there. It's going to look different. You may have a different job, a different relationship, a different... Everything may be different geographically and in the life around you. But you haven't changed. You haven't done anything about really beginning again. So you're going to wind up right back where you were or in more shape than you were before. The main ingredient to any change, no matter what it is you. Me. I've went through this message three or four different times and it's changed every time, which is normal. But anyways, I have to do a message like this, you have to look at yourself. To begin again anyway, to any choice you make that choice. Okay, the only thing that has never really begun is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They did not begin. They are. They have no beginning. They have no end. Everything in heaven had a beginning. Everything in time had a beginning, except God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are eternity. They are eternity. But the Bible teaches us that everything in heaven had a point of creation. The angels, heaven itself, the temple, anything you see in Revelations had a beginning. Everything in time had a beginning. God the Father did not have a beginning. He is. And that's the first thing I need to understand when I'm thinking about change. Because real change happens inside. Real new life comes from the inside, doesn't come from the outside. I can't blame anybody for my circumstances other than myself. I can't blame God. I can't really blame the devil. I can only blame my choices. Now, no matter what the problem is or how deep it is or what it's related to, I'm involved. The choices I make during those problems put me where I am. The choices that I make can get me out of where I am and make a whole new me. To begin means that there is an action taking place. There's movement. I cannot remain the same and change. I cannot remain the same and begin. I can stand forever in this spot and never begin. It's the same way in our own lives when we're trying to change something. We have to have movement. We have to have a change to take place before we can have anything new. Before we can begin, we have to be willing to change. We have to be willing to move. If I do not move, then change cannot take place. It means that there is an action taking place, there is movement. If you remain where you are and never move, you cannot begin. You cannot stay the same and begin. Now, these seem like little simple things, but this is what God was talking to me about in my own life. You can only begin once. You have to stop moving before you can begin again. And really, when you begin again, if it's the same action or the same thing you're working with, you haven't really begun. You're beginning again. It's a continuation of what's already there. To begin again, the old has to stop. You have to move from there and start something new, a new beginning. We see that God the Father is the beginning and he is the end. Now, I want to do a lot of skipping here, but in John 1, 1 through 5, we find in the beginning before all time. So we place that beginning is before all time. That's when God created the heavens and all of that. And we see in Revelations 1, 8, Revelation 22, 13 and Revelation 21, 4 through 7, that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. But in verse 5, say I'm jumping around, verse 5 of Revelation 21, 4 through 7, we see he makes all things new. New. Another beginning we find in Genesis 1, 1 through 3. Genesis 1, 1 through 3 is the beginning in time. And it is a specific beginning. Each day there is a beginning of something. It's a start, an origin of something. Another beginning we find listed in Genesis 1, 26 to 28, where we see, let us make man. That's another beginning, a specific origin. Another beginning is Genesis 3, 1, where we find sin entering into man. It wasn't with man before. Now it had a beginning because man fell. They made a choice. Another beginning is John 1, 14, where the Word became flesh. Now, Jesus already existed, but he wasn't Jesus. He's the Word. When he was born into this life, he became man. So he had a beginning, and he received his name, Jesus. Now, I don't know if they called him Jesus before that, but I know when he became a man, they named him specifically Jesus. Okay, so that was a specific beginning, an origin of something. An origin to movement towards the cross and our eventual freedom and deliverance. So that is a specific beginning. When God makes a beginning, he already knows the end. He knows the end. He's already put the end in place. And someone mentioned this earlier, Isaiah 46, 9 through 10. God himself said, earnestly remember the former things which I did of old. For I am God, and there is no one else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring, notice that word there, declaring the end and the result from the beginning. So the end and the result, he declared all at the same time. He spoke it. So he declaring the end and the result from the beginning and from ancient times to things that are not yet done. Saying, again saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure and purpose. Psalm 138:8, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Your mercy and loving kindness endures forever. Philippians 1:6, and I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. Now, what's this got to do with beginning? It's got everything to do with beginning, because if I know these things and I'm established in the fact, that puts me a long way forward in where I'm going and the goal that I have and the goal that God has in my life. If I can turn and know that God's going to perfect it, if I yield to him and walk his ways, he's perfecting my steps. So that takes a big load off of me if I believe that. And I do. Notice how Paul put that. He said, I am convinced and sure. Are you convinced and sure? Then if we are, why are we so upset all the time? Why are we walk our life through worry and fear and concern? And why do we constantly want to change our lives? We need to fine-tune our life, yes. That's an ongoing process. We need to make and be sure our decisions are right and they line up with the Word of God. But we don't really want to change our whole life. For one, we can't. For another, if I believe that scripture, and I'm convinced. Paul was convinced. He went through a lot of things in his life I would never want to go through. But I wasn't called to either. It's not on my life path to suffer what he suffered. It may be in the future. I don't know. But I'm sure and convinced that my life is in his hands. Yeah. David said, my times are in your hands. It's the same thing. David went through a lot too, didn't he? But he was convinced that my times are in your hands, or my steps are ordered by the Lord. Are we convinced of that? I need to ask myself that question. Am I convinced and sure that he will perfect that which concerns me? That means we prayed for eyes open and ears to hear. That means that needs to be in place. I need to have my life so dedicated to God, so downright firm in my knowledge of him and who he is and what he's done for me. I need to know. I need to be convinced that as I walk, he's ordaining my steps. That makes those problems and trials and tribulations I go through a lot smaller. They really are. They're not as big as we think they are. Paul called them a momentary minor affliction. Now, he went through some things, didn't he? So did Jesus, but they were minor. He had something else in view. We are all on a path of life as long as we're in this earth. The path that we are on requires choices. Everything we do, from picking up this bottle to setting it back down, was a choice I made. And it made a change in where I'm going or what I'm doing. Everything in life is a choice that only I can make, no matter what it is. We all have choices to make, good and bad. My life to this point is a product of my own choices, good and bad. Not all of my past is bad. A bunch of it is. But there are many roads and many choices in this life, but only one true path. Look at that guy. Have you ever been in that place? I don't know about anybody else, but I've been there. Now notice he's pointing straight forward. He is going forward. His intention was to keep moving. He's going somewhere. But there's a big sign in front of him called stop. So he stopped. But look at the other signs. No U-turn, so I can't go back. No parking, so he can't stay there. Then it says, posted. No hunting, fishing, or no trespassing. So we know where he's at is not permanent. He can't stay there. But look at the other ones. One way. No right turn. One way detour. Wrong way. What do you do in a time like that? Is that not life? I found a bunch of pictures where these interchanges were going all over the place, you know. And I thought, well, what am I going to do? That one says it. That one can, anybody can identify with that. So are you there? Well, the next one there. Me. There are many roads, many detours, many choices, but only one way. I need to be so convinced of that right there. There is only one way. And if I am convinced of that, then where do I go to make my choices? Do I go to the psychiatrist? Do I go to the doctor? Do I go to my friend or my family? Maybe those people might be involved, but ultimately, I filter what they tell me through the Word of God. Because my path is laid out in that Word, and so is yours. And if I'm convinced that He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life, then that covers it. Now, I may not know how to choose, but that's the awesome thing about God. He allows us to choose, and He expects us to choose. And there's many people that made choices that affect our lives. One of them are our parents, our grandparents, the founders of our nation. Adam and Eve, Noah, and I could go on and on. Those are all people that affected where we are today and who we are. Whether we're from a foreign country or whether we're from the state or we lived here all of our lives, people that made other choices affected who I am and what I am and where I am. It's sad to say some of us had a very bad life. Choices of others hurt and injured. But there's people that had good lives. Choices of others helped them along their way. What do I do about those choices that they made? I may get to the place so hurting that I really want a different life. Do is find the life. I need to take these ashes of my life and use them to bring me forward into what God has planned. They didn't slip up on God. He didn't come along and say, oh no, why did you go in there? He didn't say that. He already knows the process that he's in. He didn't put me in there. I chose to do that. What will he do? He will get me out. But I got to be listening. And he can take that. He can take those things, those hurts, those problems, those issues in life, and he can turn them around and make them a testimony. It can help somebody. Because I've been comforted, I can comfort others. Because I went through a father who was abusive and alcoholic and a lot of abuse of other kinds in my childhood. That doesn't mean you have to go there. But if you did, maybe my experience will help you. Because I found a way. I found peace in my life. Some of us at our last meeting at Skeet and Betty's, we shared some of our testimonies of how we found God and how what God has done in us. We all have a testimony of sorts. We've all had experiences, good and bad. It's what we do in the midst of those things that make the difference, the choices that I make. The lives of these people who were people just like you and I are a part of what helped shape us and determine our future. What we do today will determine not only our future, the future of our children, but also the future of those yet to be. I need to be so aware that my choices affect more than me. When I talk about a new beginning, I'm not talking about just my beginning. Because my beginning or my revising of where I am is going to affect more than me. Even if I don't know it, I'm going to affect other people. The right to choose has been given to man by God. And we are being held accountable for the choices that we make in this life. I may not realize that. I may think it's just simple. Just a simple choice. What difference does it make? I'm being held accountable for it. And I'm going to take a little bit of time to read this. I was going to just hit and miss with it at the time, but we need to read Deuteronomy 30 and 11 through 20. It's so important to us There's so much being said here in these scriptures. And we think, well, that's Old Testament. It is Old Testament, but it's still in place. God has never changed this. This is His heart, it's His word, and it applies to us today. I love the way the Amplified puts it. For this commandment, which I command you this day, is not too difficult for you, nor is it far off. Boy, I need to know that. It's not difficult. I can't do that. It's not too difficult. If God says it's not too difficult, then it's possible to do it. It is not a secret laid up in heaven that you should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it to us that we know it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear and do it? But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your mind and in your heart, so that you can do it. Say that with me. I can do it. You need to be convinced of that. God said it. He's going to carry it forth. I can do it. It's in my mouth. Well, it's not in my mouth. What do you mean it's in my mouth? You're not speaking it. That means you have to take the word and the promise and declare it the way God declared it. This is who I am. That's why we made that confession at the beginning. We're positioning ourselves to hear. We're making our mind at the very beginning. I'm going to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit today. I'm not going to hear Michael. I'm going to hear him. For whatever word he has for me, I am positioning myself. See, in verse 15, see, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land into which you go to possess. So what is his intention? The commandment here that he's saying we can do, that he's saying is not too difficult. The commandment, first of all, is to love. Why? Because God is love. As he is, so are we. We are love. He is love. Our commandment is to love. That is the top, number one place we go when we look at why we have problems and issues in our life. The number one. Check up on your love walk. It's not a suggestion. We don't really have a choice. Well, we have a choice. But if we're going to walk his way, we don't have a choice. If we walk the love walk, if we love God with all of our hearts and each other as we love our neighbor as ourselves, the word says that all of the commandments, every one of them and all of the prophets are summed up in those words. So if you need change in your life, where should you go first? You check up on your love walk. Are you self-centered? Are you selfish? Are you other-centered? Are you? Only you know in God. I can see you as the most given person in the world, but when you walk out the door, you can complain all the way home. They never do anything for me. You're self-centered. You're doing it because you're expecting something in return. Did you know what she did? You're not loving her. One part of the love walk is to think the best of every person, take no account of a suffered wrong. You took an account of a suffered wrong. I can tell a story about me recently where I had that opportunity. Somebody else had done that, and I didn't know it for 40 years. And I just found out about it. I'm not going to go there. But I had an opportunity to take an offense. Don't take an offense. You leave it lay. You have to. You can't afford the cost of taking that offense. You can't afford that. The cost is too high. So he's saying here to love, and that is the number one problem people have when they want to change their life. They're not doing that. You're going to see your life totally different if you're walking in love. You're going to see those issues and problems and difficulties and what people do to you in a totally different way. If you're not walking in love, you're going to take offense. You're going to be angry. You're going to walk away with a grudge. You're going to hold that thing and the root of bitterness is going to start forming, and you're going to tear your own self down. And you don't know you're doing it to yourself. You're going to blame the person, the devil, even God, and it's none of their faults. It's yours because you took an offense. You took it. You took the offense, and you're holding on to it. That's why you have the problems and issues you are having and wanting a change in your life. You don't want that wife no more. You don't want that husband no more. I don't want my kids around. I'm disowning them. I hate that boss. You're not walking a love walk. You're taking an offense. And the fault is not them, no matter what they did. The fault is yours because of your response right in the middle of that thing. You're wrong. I'm talking to me, okay? I was wrong if I do that. I command you today, so it's not a suggestion. I have to do this. To love the Lord your God. Second, to walk in his ways. Do you know his ways? Have you ever thought his way is? His way is his character, who he is, how he responds. He said to walk in his ways, not yours. So when I look at my life, am I walking in my ways and not God's? That's another reason I need to change. I don't need a new life. I need to change the one I have. I need to change my mindset to come to the place where I let the old go and take up the new. Okay, so I know that's hard for some of us. We, for years, this person had been carrying that. I had no idea. I did not know it. And they listed off a whole bunch of issues and things that I had done, had no idea of. And the person's very close to me, not my wife. Okay. But no, we just deal with it. But I was totally blindsided. I was totally knocked in the ditch. I had no idea. And I've known them all of their lives. And it hurt. But right in the middle of what was being said, I was filled. Now, I realized that afterward what I was doing was taking what they were saying, looking at it, and filtering it through the love walk. How do I respond? Because, you know, I wasn't going to go here, but I need to. The important thing is not whether I did it or did not do it. That's not what's important. I can sit there all day long and defend myself, but they're not going to hear it. Because they spent all of that time building it, thinking it, meditating on it without my knowledge. It got bigger and bigger and bigger. Finally, they did come to a place where they did tell me. But I'm taking what they're saying and I'm filtering it through that. I didn't really realize I was doing that. I wasn't saying anything. And after quite some time, they were just going on. I didn't realize that I was smiling. I don't smile much. But I guess I was, because that insulted them. And I said, all I'm doing is listening. The smile doesn't mean anything. I didn't know I was doing it. She says I do it all the time, but I don't know it. And I got in trouble for that. I said, all I'm doing is just listening. I'm letting you speak. They had to speak that. But I wasn't taking the offense, see? Now, it wasn't because I didn't want to. But I know this, and the Holy Spirit was guarding my heart. So I even said it this way. I said, you can't make me mad. I wasn't saying that to him. I didn't realize I was saying it, honestly, because I'm verbalizing what my thought was. I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to take the offense. Then I got, you can't win either. You cannot win in those circumstances, but you can forgive. You can walk on. But you can't do anything about them, because whether it's real or not, intended or unintended, known or unknown, that's not the case. It's real to them. It's real to them because they have to deal with it. And I had no knowledge of it. I can't deal with it. I can't even ask forgiveness because I don't know about it. They've been carrying it, so it's real. My defense of it doesn't matter. It has a reality in them. So I still went and asked forgiveness. sorry if I ever hurt you. I had no knowledge, no intention of doing that. But that's all I can do. I had some other things I can do that I did scripturally. But I can't do anything about that. They can carry that thing forever. When you offend somebody, I'm going to use the bottle of water again, I give an offense to Pastor Terrace. He takes it, and I walk away. I have no knowledge of it. Who has it? Me or him? That bottle of water is not going to stay a bottle of water. It's going to be an ocean before long. And I have no knowledge of it. I can't do anything about it. Even if I take my own offense away, it's still my own offense. All I can do is deal with it. He has to deal with that one, or he's going to carry it forever, and it'll eat his life up. You know, and that's where I was thinking of this person, because what's it doing to them? There needs to be a new beginning there. I can't make it. It takes us to make it. Okay? I am going on, but I'm very much aware of it. I'm praying and interceding, asking for the eyes of their understanding to be opened, and etc. But my choices are involved in that. And here in verse 17, it says, but if your mind and heart turn away. So this person has to turn away. God's not going to turn away. He's made his decision. Okay? But if your mind and heart turn away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them. Now, people, when they say other gods, they automatically think wood, metal, pitchers. But that can be your relationship. That God can be your job. That God can be money. That God can be that unforgiveness. You can be worshiping at the altar of unforgiveness and not even realize you're doing that. It has become a god because it's controlling your life and you're bound down to it. So he's not talking just, he's talking about anything in your life that will separate you from him. That's a god. It can be your wife, your children, whatever it is, he's first. And you cannot put your family first until you put him first. It's not possible. So I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. So you're headed for death. You shall surely perish, and you shall not live long in the land with which you pass over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curses. Therefore choose life. He can't go any further than that, because he's not the one that brings forth death. He's telling you it's there. But you have to choose life. I can't do anything but let you choose. But if you choose, I'll back your choice. That's what he's saying. This is so important. If we're going to say, I want a definite change in any area of your life, I need to know this is involved. And if I don't, then guess where my failure is going to be at? And all the time, God put it in front of us. When God said, I have set before you life and death and blessing and curses, therefore choose life, he was giving us the choice between being spiritually minded and carnally minded. That's basically what he was talking about. We cannot be both at the same time. We're going to be carnally minded, or we're going to be spiritually minded. Carnally minded is the flesh, the emotions, and all the things that drive you every day. Spiritually minded is your word minded, your love minded. That's spiritually minded. Romans 8:5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded or fleshly or worldly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded or word minded or love minded is life and peace. What do I want in my life? Where are my choices? I can tell you if you're spiritually minded and walk that way, I can tell you that the majority of the problems you want to change will already be changed. They will take care of themselves. Your relationships, where you're at, where you're living, all of that will be taken care of because you're listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You're spiritually minded. You're not making decisions based on circumstances. You're basing your decisions on your love walk and what the Word says and being led by the Holy Spirit. You cannot be carnally minded and be led by the Spirit. You will not work. You have to be spiritually minded. That means love-minded and word-minded. Then you can hear his voice and walk in his ways. Otherwise, you can't. It's not possible to do it. The choice is ours and ours alone. God is holding us accountable for our choices. He will also, I said God will hold is holding us accountable for our choices. So is the devil. We're being held accountable for our choices. And he will help us choose. Both of them will. So all the devil's doing is giving us, presenting us something to choose. We choose it. We took that offense. He presented it. I didn't have to, but I took it. So what would you do if you was him? He successfully pulled you away from the Word of God. He successfully aborted whatever you were just walking into. You aborted it. He didn't. He just gave you the opportunity. And we were dumb enough to take it. Then we get mad at God. Okay, God is holding us accountable for our choices. He will back up our right to choose and our choice, even if it's choosing the enemy. He will back that. He will honor our choice. He will not make the choice for us, and he will not make us choose. That's our part. Not making a choice is a choice. In order to change anything, our choice is involved. Even though God is holding us accountable for choices, he will teach us how to choose. I love that. Psalm 32:8 says, I, the Lord, will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. So he's watching us, just like he was watching Gretchen. He's watching Gretchen. He was setting these little things up and telling her little things to do. He was teaching her how to choose because she's spiritually minded. So he can teach her. So many of us, he can't teach because we're worldly minded. We're not listening. Even though he wants to, he can't teach us. We're not listening. Psalm 25, 8 through 10 talks about he teaches us his way. Psalm 25, 12 through 15. I'm going to go ahead and read this one because I love it. Who is the man who reverently fears and worships, reverently fears and worships the Lord? Me. So he's talking to me, right? Hopefully he's talking to you. Him, that guy, or Michael, or you, him shall he teach in the way that he should choose. I love it. He himself shall dwell at ease, and his offspring. If you want another promise for your kids, this is one right here. What's the condition? You're reverently worshiping and fearing the Lord. So there's the condition. Then he follows. He himself shall dwell at ease, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord have they who fear and revere and worship him. And he will show them his covenant and reveal to them its deep inner meaning. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. I love that. I love the way the Amplified puts that, because that shows us the heart of God. It shows us that when I choose him, there's so many other things that are linked to that choice. That takes care of my children. It takes care of this trap I'm in. It takes care of those things. All I did was set my love upon him and walk in his ways. He took care of those things. Am I convinced of that? I am. And I hope that you are. In Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Where's your troubles then? Okay, Psalm 23 is a great one. I don't have time to read these. But we'll read John 14:26-27, because no matter what trouble you're going through, and you've heard me talk about this before, but we need to, and it goes right along with this. We really need to allow the Holy Spirit to have his place. Amen. He's been given to each of us who is born again. So many times he can't do the ministry that he has because we won't let him do it. We don't call him upon him. So this, only the Amplified will bring this out. But the Comforter, now they all say that. And Pastor, I'm your comforter. Now go on, fix it. I'm your comforter. That's the way we see the Holy Spirit. Does he do that? Yes, he's our comforter. But that word comforter has so much more involved than just pity patting. But that's what we see. I don't need a pity patter. I got one. I don't need someone to pity pat me. I mean, it's nice when they do, but the comforter, then we see what he does. He's a counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things. So he's my comforter, my counselor, my helper, my intercessor. He's my advocate, my strengthener, my standby, and he will teach me all things. And he will cause you to recall. He will remind you of and bring you and bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. Now that's not only in prophecy, but that's what he's told us in the Word. But how can he remind me and bring it to recollection if I have never received it? If I'm not in the Word, he can't bring it up. So if I stay, that's another reason you stay in the Word, stay in the Word, stay in the Word, because he will recall that. Even though you didn't realize you were putting something in for your future, you did. I will make this as quick as I can. So please, and then verse 27, peace I leave with you. My own peace I give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not. What's do not mean? Isn't that a commandment again? It is. Jesus said this, so it's a commandment from the Father. He never said anything the Father didn't say. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated, disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Now, do not cannot get any stronger than that. Those are the things we have to let go of. And I have a choice to make here. I'm going to have to choose not to get agitated. I'm going to choose not to take that offense. Why is he putting that in there? Because that's where our trouble is. That's what's stealing our peace. That's what's robbing our joy. That's what's disconnecting us. That's what's keeping us from being spiritually minded. Those things are all carnal. They're all choices I made. So he's telling me, stop allowing yourself. Michael, stop it. I don't know how much stronger you can get than that. Nothing that Satan can do can keep us from our right to choose. All he can do is to deceive. And that's what he does. When he offers these opportunities to us, he is expecting us to take a hold of those and to receive them, and we've been. That's all he has. Nothing that Satan can do can keep us from our right to choose. All he can do is try to deceive us into thinking that we cannot choose the Lord's way or that we are unworthy. That's a big one. We do not have to choose Satan's way. That has already been done by Adam. If we do not choose the Lord's way, we will reap the same judgment as Satan and his followers. There really is only one choice available to make. That is Jesus. We can choose him anytime, anywhere we want to. Nothing can keep us from receiving. The price has already been paid. What does he use to teach us his paths or his way of life? His living word. That's what he expects us to choose. Psalm 119:130. The entrance and unfolding of your words give light. Their unfolding gives understanding, discernment, and comprehension to the simple. Entrance means I partake of it. Unfolding means I study it, I receive it, I get an understanding of it, I meditate on it, I'm unfolding it. I can just hear it and it not make a difference. But when I unfold it, it brings life, even to the simplest. Okay, so there, in Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. The lamp to my feet is where I am. So the word taking care of where I am. The lamp is where I'm going. It's my path. So the word is a lamp to my path and a light to my feet. It's taking care of where I'm going. The Word is doing that. Some of us need to sing a new song, don't we? We need to sing a new song. But you may be saying, I have not felt like singing for a long time. What is there to sing about? Have you ever been at that place? Oh, we all have at one time or another. What is there to sing about? When you do sing, you have to, it's a real effort. But that's nice. And that's pleasing to the Lord. But or you may be in this place. You may be singing a song, but it's blue eyes crying in the rain or gloom, despair, and agony on thee. Have you ever sung those songs? Those are two real songs. Hee Haw is one, and Conway Twitty, I believe, is the other one. Blue eyes crying in the rain. But that's not where we're supposed to be. That's not the song we're supposed to be singing. We're supposed to be singing a new song. Songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Why? Because we know our Father. Maybe this is you. The next photo there, Nate. Is that you? I think we've been there. Or we may know somebody. Maybe we work with somebody like Gretchen does all the time. Many of us are in the chains of bondage, carrying around the rock of unforgiveness or hurts from the past. Maybe you're this next one. You're chained to the rock of unforgiveness and the hurts of the past. Do you know that's exactly what happens? You are chained there. That butterfly is meant to fly. Flying is his life. And he's doing everything he can. There was a time when he crawled as a caterpillar, but he changed. Now his whole life is flying. He has a job to do, but he's tied to the rock. It's hard to fly when something is weighing you down. What's weighing you down? Can you identify anything? If you're not and can't, than you have in the past. Hopefully you will not in the future. There's a lot in these two pictures. We're chained to the rock of unforgiveness and hurts of the past. What does the Word have to say about it? In Mark 11:23, we read this part. Truly, now that rock can be a rock or it can be a mountain. This part's not on their slide. The second part will be. Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and be thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. For this reason I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you, and you will get it. Now, most people stop there. They miss verse 25 and 26, and they're tied to that. So many of us are busy doing what that butterfly is doing. We're straining and straining and straining. We know that we can fly. We know that that's our appointed place. But we're not talking to our mountain. We're not speaking the word to it. We're not taking the word of God and thus says the Lord, for it is written. And standing confident in that. We're not doing that. And that's our fault. What does the next verse say that's tied to it? And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. And the Amplified says, and let it drop. Leave it. Let it go. In order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings and let them drop. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your failings and shortcomings. They're connected. I may separate these verses away from the others and be talking continuously to my mountain. And I'll blame God because nothing's changing. All the time, he's trying to show me I'm that butterfly. He gave me life. I can fly. But I'm tied to the rock. What is that rock? It's the rock of the past. It's the rock of unforgiveness. It's the rock of offense. It's the rock of time. It's the past. It's time for a new beginning. If it's not your time for a new beginning, maybe you've already begun and you need to fine-tune, but there's somebody in your life that needs a new beginning. There's somebody. It's time to leave your past be your past at last. Isn't it? I heard a minister say that one time. And he had a very strong testimony. But he said that. He said, it's time to be your past. Let your past be your past at last. And that drove right here. Because I had a lot of hurt. And I had to make that decision to let my past be a past at last. Quit trying to resurrect the past. Quit allowing the enemy to use your now life to bring life to your past. Do you know that's what happens? I never thought of that till I was studying this. Our hope, our now life that I'm living, he uses that to bring life or new life to the past hurt. I never thought of that. I don't know if you have or not. I never thought of that. That's why he concentrates so much on our hurts and our offenses. Because he knows if he can use my faith in my now life and I focus there, I abort my future. It's actually bringing life to that past. And I don't know I'm doing it. But the enemy does. He's actually using my own faith and assigning it to the past. Now that can be a family member. It can be somebody dead. It can be an offense. It can be another pastor. It can be someone like that. It can be somebody close. But you're aborting your future. And every time you think of them, you go right back there. Life is going from you to that offense. Quit allowing that. Quit trying to resurrect the past. The past, and I've shown this before, but I'm going to show it again because people on this tape are hearing, a lot of people go to our internet site, and a lot of them, and they're here in church with us. There's others that are here that we're not. This is your past. End of time, the rock of time. There's a fossil in there. That's your past. That's what that butterfly was tugging on that rock, the past. No matter how hard I try, I can't bring life to that anymore. It's in the rock of time. This moment, by the time I get done saying these phrases, they're in the rock of time. They cannot be taken back or changed, manipulated in any way. Do not let the stone of the past weigh down your now, and in the process limit, hinder, or possibly prevent or destroy the new life of today, which becomes your tomorrow. Do not wait for a certain day or beginning of a year to change your way of life or your path that you're now on. Do something about it in the now while there's still now. What you do with today will determine your future. Your life today will be the fossil of your life tomorrow. You cannot change the past, move it, reshape it. You can change your now. And by doing so, you can change your future. You cannot live in your future now or even know for sure what your future will be. Do something with the now, which will determine your future and what it will be. The choice is ours. It's not God's. It's ours. We'll read this one last scripture and then I'm going to close. Ephesians 4, 21 through 24. Assuming that you have really heard him and been taught by him, as all truth is in Jesus, embodied and personified in him, strip yourselves. Kind of graphic, but it gets the point home, don't it? Strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and discard your old, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lust and desires that spring from delusion or deception. And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, God-like in true righteousness and holiness. In other words, drop it, leave it, let it go. Are you willing to do that in your own life? If you want change, if you really want a new beginning, then that's what you're going to have to do. But you're not alone in it. God will teach you how. He'll be with you every moment. He will strengthen you, encourage you, put people around you. He will teach you how to pray. He will make the way for you, but not without you. God cannot and will not make your choice for you. We make that. If I'm serious about a new beginning, what's happened here today, we're talking about that. If we're to remain united, then we have to do this. You can't do it for me. And I can't be united to you without my choice. And if you don't do it, then it's going to affect me. So today we had an awesome service. And I believe that this message today is linked right to that. We stepped over a line today, whether we think so or not. God has already orchestrated the path. It's already in place. We choose whether or not we walk in it. I'm going to do what I can. By God's help, I'll walk in it with your help also. Amen. We need one another. Amen. Thank you for your patience. I didn't have a place to stop, so.